friends, and welcome to Liminal Light, a show that explores the languages of myth and lore, sky and star, earth and embodiment through astrology, art, and spirit engagement. I'm your host, Chris. Enjoy. Milky liquid is the glass which flows in place of panes, forming the skin within which pots hold the medium from which sprouts the fruits of our labors. Gently throbbing tubes supply the serum, the precious juice that feeds the fruit, budding with soft nests, resting upon the surface of the substance. With the slow and steady tides, the whole place swells and then drains out and dries enough to take a brief breath before the pools refill with heavy, healthy fluid. Everything rocks soothingly to the motion. Restored by sleep and sung songs by dream, the kind of lute coos into oblivion, and the streams of wistful weird amble over mossy beds and funnel to silent spots, where concentric circles ripple out to meet the edges, engaging calmly with the circumference of containment. The snoring litters take the tincture drop by drop, their complexion improving day by day, the probing reach of curious creatures that yet to know the limits of their limb spans. One more letter added each hour to the word, one more word added to each day to the phrase, one more phrase added to the statement each week, one more statement added to the fiction piece each moon, one more piece added to the collection each season, and on, uninterrupted brooding. Then comes the mechanical clicking of cicadas, insect wings on automatic oscillation, the cold clockwork of industrial engines, the unforgiving emptiness of a waste oil disposal pit, the shrieking noise of grinding gates swinging open on rusty metal hinges, and in the frictive tension of the toil which dismantles whole portions of the structure with which the greenhouse is assembled, vibrations shake the pots and spill fluid in loosened junctions on the tubing and waste precious drops of serum and upset the sleeping creatures and scare the sprouting seeds and must the bed of moss, sheets, and soil the neatness of the nests. The metered tides, free to breathe with ease, heave heavy, miss breaths, become erratic, and toss and turn in fit. A hole appears in the arcing skin through which new things ooze into the gardens and introduce unpredictable elements into the ecological balance, now responding out of instinct to survive. Another hole appears in the floor and fluid drains out through the breach, vital nutrition lost. We set off to fix the leak and encounter collapsed structures, crashed cars, forgotten projects, dead collections, drained batteries, scavenged frames, gutted houses, outdated electronics, and the skeletons of old workhorses littered upon the lawn along the way. We've got to clean this stuff up. The main line is beneath the clutter, the pipes crisscross between the stacks and heaps. The piles obscure the inlet and the juice is damming up around the excess and spilling over the side into the void beyond the circumference of the world. Who are we that we let this go on for so long? Have we been lost for so long out on the road that where we left behind a derailed train that we no longer know our names or what we came to accomplish in the greenhouse? We squint and try to see the steps we took down from the hill and can't find our footprints in the erosion caused by faulty land plans and poor resource use. We've got to do something. We have a whole hothouse full of lambs and pups and sprouts and babes that mew for attention, who we fought to bring into the world. Now we must follow through with our process of creation. It's time to clear the game board, to start new with what we've got growing, to clear out the old stable of storage and expand our nursery operation in earnest. The skies portend mechanical swarms of malfunctioning metal locusts, and the droughts are the only thing worse than the floods. We've got to act fast, as drastic times call for drastic measures. We received two eclipses in the month of July, a north node solar eclipse in Cancer on July 2nd, and a south node lunar eclipse in Capricorn on July 16th. This has been part of a theme building up across the span of June as Saturn and Mars had positioned themselves on either end of the nodal axis, quadruple underlining it as a serious piece of zodiacal property across the spectrum. What we need to dismantle in the material world in order to achieve our goals, make use of our inspiration, insights, and opportunities, and also nurture the things we truly care about and need to grow in our lives, have been an ongoing theme of 2019, and will continue to be present after this set of eclipses. But it is at this point that we usher in new identifications and realizations of what we must grow and what we need to assist it, and make the hard, most decisive cuts on the collection of dead limbs we face before us, so light and water may flow into our orchards. As a reminder, eclipse seasons are times of imbalance, and this is certainly no exception, with one end occurring in the moon's own sign and the other in the midst of Saturn and Pluto. We know now we must meet the needs we see so clearly or simply starve, and also we must nick some parts of the array we've assembled, even though we have no clue what might happen after the scissors make the snip. At some point, we must guess. Is it the blue wire or the white wire? Deep down, we realize it must be one or the other, but still tarry with clippers in hand until it's time to cut the cord and step forward into an unknown future. The past cannot tell us here how to proceed. There's only a shadowed passage into tomorrow. As Venus is passing through Cancer, we romanticize our fears a la Sturm und Drang, and the Sun trines Neptune, this only increases. It seems we are up against the ultimate forces of darkness and oppression, and our emotions swell so much it ignites our hearts by August as the planets proceed after Mars and Leo bushwhacking our way back to ourselves. As the Sun is being bathed in intuitive, empathic emotions of swelling drama and whole seafulls of fantasy fulfillment foci, Mars clashes against Uranus via square in the second week of the month. It is the insatiable and salivating orientation of Sun on sinking its teeth not only into the fruit that actually fuels us, but also our wildest wishes, while we're at it, and whatever else the world is willing to offer. It is the wet and wild summer Sun desperate to sip its fill, which sends orders down the pipe to Mars describing how we should carry out his missions as the deployed soldier in tomorrow's terrain swings his machete at two tall stalks until he encounters the ultra-modern electric fence and gets 1,000 volts of lightning, while entheogenic compounds he's collided with seep into his system and volatilize his nerves. We seek visibility with some experimental methods and motivated by emotionally carried away objectives. We may be getting spotlight ready to display a very unstable version of ourselves and bring on caffeine and bodybuilding smoothies to get in shape for our upcoming debut, with our priorities seeking new truth and wider understanding of ourselves and our condition, but falling out of whack in the process. Another example of 2019's theme of getting lost to ultimately find a better destination than we set out to look for. Here we might turn several feeding schedules up to 11 in haste before we get the mixture right for being stage and spotlight ready in actuality. Realizing we want to up our game, we dump the whole hopper of supplements on ourselves and gorge on nutrition, expecting to make us superhuman. But the gas tank only has so much capacity, and we'll quickly learn lessons of waste if we overfill and petrol starts splashing to the pavement with the meter running all the while. We'll ruin the soil that we stand on as well as pay for what we've squandered. Mars will benefit greatly from the Sun's ingress into his own sign of rulership late in the month, after the boat quits rocking so much from the push and pull of moons in extreme polarity. Once the king is securely on the throne, his general begins to make most strategic decisions that benefit the kingdom, bring renown and spread word of chivalric valor and glory. Venus enters the royal room, and not only do we want and feel perfectly comfortable paying attention to ourselves and promoting ourselves and standing up for who we truly are and what we represent and show our true colors, but we decide to dress up to the nines and decorate ourselves like peacocks and adorn ourselves with jewels and flash and sparkle and glimmer and mesmerize. The funny thing is everyone will be doing it, so there's a brief bit of the summer of love following the hard squeeze of a malefic laden eclipse season. This is different from normal beach and boardwalk strutting, as it's the return of the sun to his sign of rulership after the nodes were throwing his significations out of balance for the past few years. And also this round, Leo season happens in trine by sign and aspect along the way to Jupiter in rulership in Sagittarius. Luckily for us, our month of being super into ourselves kindles heart flames across the board and lifts us up to noble heights and puts us in view of the entire landscape of our ultimate trajectories, where we can clearly see and understand how all the elements could come together to move us toward our targets and seize the apex of success in our soul's accomplishment. But that really kicks in August, even though we find that the torches which all kindle the bonfire of our collective egos are sparkled up by the end of July's calendar days, which sizzle off the sequence. We go from fantasizing about what we want to drip off our greedy jaws to celebrating ourselves and mythologizing our importance. Go us. We see this regular post-eclipse lunation cycle of manifestation here and along these lines with a new moon in Leo on the final day of July. Then there is the Mercury retrograde that spans the month, stationing retrograde on July 7th in Leo and then direct on July 31st. Seeming to act in direct accordance with the eclipse sequence, the off-balance and extreme pulls of the moon this round have us rethinking, re-editing, reorganizing, and rewriting who we think we are, what parts of us we want to be visible to the public, and we need to have stocked in our own pantry, what is enough and what is too much, and how to let everyone around us know how they can contribute. Since we don't do this in isolation, you'll find yourself listening to everyone else's list of updated demands out loud as they create them, while you are trying out yours on the ears of your friends and family and coworkers, etc. With plenty of tears showering over sympathetic shoulders and spittle of tantrum falling to the floor while baby has their hard cry. It'll be sloppily mutual, and plenty of sogginess to sop up and get mopped before Leo's fires can get lit upon the emotion-soaked ground. And don't forget the drooling saliva we'll release as we stare at the sausage links of our wildest dreams in the proverbial face. Tuck a bib into your collar and grab a hanky. We're going to get wet and wild at the lobster pound, so bring a wallet full of Arcanum 18s to throw down on the table when the waiter comes around. Mercury begins the retrograde by turning tail conjunct Mars, realizing we're not ready to talk about ourselves clearly or correctly in the new light of the red planet slashing is letting in through the brush, and getting a look at Uranus's revolutionary or perhaps techno-paranoiac equipment, Hermes retreats to Cancer to hide up in the clamshell where we're most comfortable, until he backtracks almost to opposing Pluto again and decides it's not worth staring Cerberus down all over. And with our shit finally straightened out, and after a long and much-needed weeping and a few primal scream sessions, we get on the horn and do our duty and order the supplies we needed to stock our shelves properly all along, asking for favors and exchanging intimate words with the people we care most about, even if it's only to repair some burst bubbles from a week prior with some spit and elbow grease. In the end, we'll find out a bunch of stuff about each other that we didn't know before, or we're trying to ignore or repress. Bon voyage, safe sails, and see you on the other side of the demented and disturbed lagoon, where we can wear crazy homemade costumes and towering headdresses and fanning tail trains and parade, promoting emanations projecting from avatars of our egos. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Welcome back to the show, Bonnie.
So happy to be here, even though we have lots of bad news.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Well, it's neutral news. It just depends on how crafty you are. No, some people will actually get it, probably, but
right.
There's something you can do about it.
No.
But, yeah, welcome back, you know, in the sense that you've been on less episodes than
you've recorded.
Than usual, you know. I feel like you used to be on every single one, and now you haven't been on some of the interviews.
And I'm okay with that. No, I think it's good.
I mean, meant that more in like a, like, we're happy to have you back. We, like, now that I refer to myself as we.
There are so many sides to you.
Yeah, well, this is part of like the identity crisis of July's astrology.
Crises, yeah.
Which we'll go through piece by piece. Speaking of which, the first piece, which is by the time...
Today.
Yeah, well, today as we're recording, but by the time you listen to this, it'll already have happened. It actually hasn't happened yet as we record. It's 7 p.m. tonight. It's only...
So you have time.
It's 4 p.m. Yeah. Right now. Me. But like no one... I don't know if anyone's going to hear this by the time.
Right.
What we're talking about is Mars's ingress into Leo, which I feel like I can feel it happening. Like it's... Sometimes you get that with like there's a kind of like suction at the border of a zodiacal sign where you can kind of feel the planet like penetrating the membrane.
I just am curious, do you feel it as far as your tendencies or like instincts are concerned? Do you think that like you're going more in that like Mars and Leo style? Are you getting to be
there's like a kind of manic feel, you know, which I mean the eclipse is tomorrow and that creates a manic feel, but I don't know, I've slowly become pretty sensitized to the planets. Like I know what Mars feels like, I know what Mercury feels like. I especially can tell Mercury. Usually it's something that happens, like I'll know it's coming and then I'll note when Mercury's ingress happens. Like last time when it went into Cancer, remember, I was like, it was in Gemini for that final bit. And we were having like getting so much done. I think I reported on the podcast last month about it. Maybe we talked about it already. That like, I was like opening like 30 windows on my phone while I was reading a new book, you know, and like, be like, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. All this information. Right. And then right when it went into Cancer, we like, busted out a map and we had to navigate ourselves by car, like further than we usually go somewhere to meet someone for dinner. So it's like, we were like Mercurying our way towards food, you know, like,
absolutely.
That was like one of the more recent examples, but I always notice when Mercury changes, it's pretty like on the moment. Venus, I always notice too, only when she goes into dignity, I can really just tell. It just, things feel great, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose it like really makes a difference where what you have that planet in and what house it's in. And
yeah, like how prominent it is in your chart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you have like a very like mercurial...
I do. I have Mercury in the first house.
Yeah. So, of course, Mercury is going to really speak to you.
I just mean all those quick-moving planets. Like, maybe the moon is too quick.
Too quick.
Some people probably can tell who are super lunar.
I'm so lunar.
Yeah, you might be able to tell. But I think with the sun and Mars and Mercury and Venus, you can kind of, if you really kind of tune yourself to them, you can really feel when they change signs.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mars into Leo. You were saying something interesting about Mars in Leo before we started recording.
About how it makes you want attention that's not necessarily due, is that?
Or I think you were talking about it being like a little bit more of like a belligerent Mars or kind of like a...
Oh, not as eloquent. And I mean, or I think...
You're saying elegant.
Elegant.
And we started talking about how...
It's like,
You know, the sun has its exaltation in Mars's sign, Aries. And it's kind of the, like, let me show you how it... Like, move aside, kid. Let me show you how it's done. And then like, you step up and do the deed or whatever. And people are like, wow. You know, like...
Yeah, you lifted the car.
Yeah, and it was, like, perfect. Or not necessarily perfect, but it was, like, a show of your capability that was impressive, you know? You end up getting attention for it, the attention coming from the sun part, but the capability coming from the Aries part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get this kind of weird, messed up version of that when you get Mars in Leo in the sun sign, because you get Mars being aggressive about getting attention rather than getting attention by being capable. You know,
sort of like drunken warrior.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of just like, I've got it. And then you're like, I was about to do it, but thanks. Like, kind of.
Yeah, or just kind of like, I'll get everyone to look at me just by kind of exerting a lot of energy.
Screaming obscenities. I've got them all in my hand. Yeah.
Or you're like, check this out. And everyone's like, the result is kind of, oh, that person is very aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
Or wow, what an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that will be happening until, what is it, like August 17th or something?
I'm not sure. I have to go back and look at the date. Let me check that out, actually, really quick. You think it's August 17th? Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, but there's an interesting factor to Mars in Leo this time around, that after July plays out and we have all the eclipses and all this stuff happens in Cancer that we're going to talk about, all the planets one by one move, all the, you know, those planets we're talking about, Mercury, Mars, Venus, and the Sun all move one by one into Leo by starting by the end of the month, and then we'll have them there throughout August. Trining Jupiter, like just right away, trining Jupiter by sign, and then through the course of the month, trining Jupiter by aspect. And it's a lot of, you know, being ourselves, being radiating our true identities, and you know, what we hold to be true about ourselves, and showing it off and flaunting and strutting our stuff, but having it kick up a bunch of actual inspiration and opportunity. And it's kind of this bright and funny, like inspirited, kind of like excited time. But the process is kind of going through the eclipse period, kind of in the Capricorn side, making a bunch of cuts, dismantling a bunch of things, getting rid of a bunch of things that we have to get rid of, that we're scared to get rid of, maybe, and then prioritizing our needs in the Cancer side. And then a bunch of other factors. But it's interesting that after all that's done, after this like kind of hard, all these hard chops are done, we end up being really bright and excited.
And more ourselves.
And more ourselves, yeah. And excited about ourselves.
Yes.
You know? Able to dream bigger because we're kind of coming out of the closet with whatever we're carrying or whoever we are. We're going into the dark closet, shoving a bunch of stuff we don't actually want in the garbage disposal, and then kicking the door open and coming back out like who we actually are, which causes Mercury to go, not causes, but Mercury goes into retrograde through the month of July.
On Saturday.
On this Saturday, which is like perfect for the sequence as
it's for that underworld like journey.
Or that in the closet.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But that we're like, oh, we're going to, like, as soon as we kick that door open and come out of the closet in the outfit we want to be wearing, and show everyone, you know, this is what I actually need to be doing, we immediately start rethinking our visibility and rethinking our needs.
Yeah,
wait a minute, maybe I, you know.
Right, and that's like some kind of conflict because of this Mars and Leo.
The interesting thing about the Mars and Leo, the way I keep thinking of it is like, he's the one that goes in first, doing like the major bushwhacking to open up the space, you know, because he went through Cancer first and got us really agitated about our needs, got us really defensive. You know, he went over the North Node, he went through Cancer. It was a month before the eclipses, but he hit, you know, he hit Rahu and got that like salivating hunger, you know, that insatiability.
Yeah.
And was like, was just kind of like overly aggressive about like, this is my turf, this is my territory, don't mess with this. You know, like that kind of weaponized, oversensitive version of like, I actually need this, I can't give it up, so I'm going to kind of, I'll even fight for it, you know? You know, when the dog has the bone and it's like, don't you dare, you know?
Yeah.
But then he goes into Leo first and is starting to, you know, knock the brush down so we can get that Leo light in.
Right.
To the area that's too wet that needs to dry out.
Get accustomed to that Leo light that's coming like, towards the end of the month.
But when Mercury is Mercury and Mars come together in Leo, and that's when Mercury turns around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like this coming out kind of dynamic, this narrative, but coming out with a bunch of rethinking, you know. It's like moving too fast out into the light and having to kind of retreat back into the swamp to kind of like grab all the things that we actually need to bring with us, because we're getting rid of stuff and we're re-identifying with our needs. And there's a bunch of things that we might have thrown in the box to go to the thrift store that we have to drive to the thrift store in the middle of the night to pull out of the box before they take it into the thrift store in the morning, kind of deal, you know. Is this all making sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Ranting and raving.
No, it's... Okay. Yeah. That is just a scary idea to me.
I know, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the whole drive there, you're like, oh, God, did they, like, take it in? Like, is it too late?
Please,
am I
going
to have to buy it back? Yeah.
Yeah. Am I going to have to buy it back?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's like your favorite old T-shirt from, you know, from, like...
Eighth grade.
Yeah, or it has, like, it's the T-shirt of your old band or something, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't have any. There was never, like, a T-shirt for any of my bands,
okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all completely literal. This is, like, gonna happen to you.
Don't throw out that band T-shirt, guys.
Okay, so... Tuesday, July 2nd. We're in the second day of the month at this point. No, we're moving all around the place.
No, it's then, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when we get, at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, July 2nd, we get the actual solar eclipse in Cancer on the North Node. And this is the end of the eclipses that is having us, this is the Rahu end, like I said, the insatiable, always hungry mouth. But it's a solar eclipse, so it's more... in our visions and our identifications and what we're striving for. It's in that kind of solar directive register rather than the one on the 16th, which is going to be more physical and more lunar, more substance-based. So this one is the part where we're identifying with our needs. You know, we're in a big way. It's driving us around. You know, the sun kind of says, like, puts the sight on, you know, it's like if we're going to use the map, the sun is looking at, like, where we're going. The sun is the reason why we're whipping the map out, you know? Like, we're going to Detroit,
Like, the original shutter of light.
Yeah. 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 And we're, you know, so we're whipping up the map to say, like, all right, we, like, our needs, our own personal needs, you know, what are we going to do? But in a huge way, we're just kind of getting all amped up about that. And, you know, we always talk, you know, we've been doing this show for long enough that we're hit these eclipse seasons every 6 months. And there's two eclipses and one north node, one south node, one lunar, one solar. But just to kind of say it again, what was I going to say again? Oh, yeah, that they're imbalanced. You know, that so we're gonna, that identification is where we're ultimately headed with things, but we're over identifying, you know,
right.
That we may be going too far too fast with things. So just to kind of be like, okay, yeah, this is the right direction, but not to go overboard, because it's in the emotional register. So we might, that can be really volatile for a lot of us, where we're just like, I just feel like doing it, or I just won't be happy otherwise. You know, I have to do it, you know. It's not practical, it's not intellectual, it's not, you know, it's not like, it's not in the spirit, it's not about excitement, it's about feeling.
Yes.
Know? So it can make it can emotions it's water. So once you move the water, it's splashing, there's ripples, there's wakes, you know? So mm-hmm. it can get, emotions I feel like are sometimes one of the first things to cause confusion, you know? Because we're just, things get unclear, they get murkier, you know? But there's clarity within that in, and when I've been consulting with people over the past couple of months, getting ready for this, especially the last month, to start identifying and prioritizing your needs ahead of time. So you do have that clarity once the emotion yeah. gets kicked up.
Yeah. So it's not like emotions like making last minute decisions or like on the spot decisions. It's not like based on emotion. Like you have sort of that map that you were referring to earlier.
Right.
But it was like made with insight before, which is too late now.
Too late now.
For me to make that map.
Right. So. But you can still be like, the boat's a rockin', where's the map? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm.
Because it's
so Cancer that I'm like used to. Yeah. I understand just, you know, the. Just like I was saying, I was very ruled by the moon. The fluctuation of emotion and understanding that feelings can be fleeting.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful just like coming to that understanding and realization and just not taking everything so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, like you don't always have to like hit the eject button on the passenger in the car. Yeah.
Right. Or jump out of the car.
Or jump out of the car.
Right.
Right. Okay. So Venus ingresses Cancer on July 3rd. Mm-hmm. And there's already a whole lot of Cancer happening. And Mercury was handing a bunch of stuff to Venus from Cancer because Venus was in Gemini. But Venus was processing it in a Gemini way. Maybe... talking a lot about it, like researching a bunch of things, like running around media, expressing art that way, being like flirty, etc. But now she's fully in Cancer, so now it's you know, Cancer is a, you know, it's like a yin modality, whereas you know, Gemini might be a yang modality. Like in traditional Hellenistic astrology, Gemini is a masculine sign and Cancer is a feminine sign by being a water sign.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Venus being more, Venus gets to kind of be more night-sect and more kind of relaxed, even though it's eclipse season and it's out of control.
Yes.
So it's, with the moon, you get a lot of generative signatures, and with Venus, you get a lot of like, creative signatures. Mm-hmm. So with both of them, you get like being able to generate and create and being able to be fertile and create, to be artistic and take care of something that you're growing and making. So Venus in Cancer, you know, she's in triplicity there. It's not her favorite place, but it'll probably be a lot of like quiet creating and it's good for like home decorating and like creative nesting.
I was also thinking about, this is a great time for growing, you know,
yeah,
planting,
yeah, certainly.
So
yeah,
you
yeah.
want to be like nurturing any little plants that you have or fig plants, whatever your garden.
Yeah, and totally.
However, whatever that means to you.
But yeah, this is still Venus entering the sign of the eclipse during eclipse season, or, you know, where the, one of the signs where the nodal axis is. And then, but yeah, it's, like you said, it's good for like romanticizing the mother-child dynamic, for creative nurturing, for romantic nesting, for feeding creative or romantic impulses and projects. And so it kind of, I think of it in a way as kind of a balm mid-eclipse season, because like one of the safest things you can always do with any kind of turbulence that's going on from... astrologically, coming from any direction,
mm-hmm.
You know, and not astrologically, it's always healthy to try to channel it into something artistic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if the art's a mess, you know, if you're just feeling crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, for a show.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be for exhibition.
Yeah, it's just an expression of that.
Yeah, and you could throw it away after. It's kind of just the doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that. It's nice to have Venus in that sense, mm-hmm. in helping out in the sign. It can make romance feel really turbulent, but there's the option for whatever turbulence is happening in the waters of Cancer to channel into art therapy, you know?
Yeah.
And you might art therapy, you still might end up with works of art that
don't throw them out quite yet. You don't want to end up at the Goodwill at, you know,
at 3:45
in the morning.
3:45. it's an election. And then on Sunday, July 7th, we get Mercury stationing retrograde, mm-hmm. sorry. And so this is like kind of, this is interesting because Mercury at the end of June has already just made it into Leo. And then Mercury turns around and around 4 degrees into Leo after conjoining Mars or pretty much conjunct Mars. What's up?
I just want to ask, how long is Venus in Cancer for?
Venus in Cancer? Okay, let's check it out. All right, let me get back and see. Until July 27th.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. I mean, I feel like it's fantastic considering what I have planned for this month.
Yeah, yeah. We might prefer Venus in Leo just because of the trines to Jupiter, but yeah, it's handy to have her in the sign of the eclipses. But it also, like I said, will involve your attractions and desires and pleasures into the imbalanced nature of the eclipse,
right.
You know? But yeah, so Mercury stationing retrograde on July 7th is really significant because of the interaction with Mars, and Mars actually catches up with Mercury this time around, which usually doesn't happen because mm-hmm. if Mercury slows down, Mercury's much faster than Mars.
Yeah.
But because Mercury's slowing down and Mars just happens to be right behind, Mercury's already passed Mars once in Cancer and then slows down, like kind of hits the brakes once he gets into Leo. And then Mars catches up with Mercury and then Mercury goes the other way.
Mm.
And so it's Mercury-Mars. There's a lot to say. There might be like fights. There might be arguments. Like you might be like, there might be some urgency to express certain things. And you know, the sun sign Leo is about visibility.
Yeah.
And it's just after we'd have this eclipse about prioritizing our needs. Like the whole, like what we're talking about like coming out with like coming out of that proverbial closet, being like, this is me. And then being like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I got dressed in the dark.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it doesn't actually mean that you're wanting to run back in the closet, yeah. But things
you have to rock it. But
yeah, yeah, you realize that you're like that has some repercussions that need to be sorted out. Like, because Mercury turns around and goes back into Cancer, it might feel really good to jump out and express yourself the way you express like who you are and call the spotlight over to you, call for attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then you might be like, ooh, there's a bunch of emotional implications to this that I have to unpack. And a bunch of, like we said, this is the whole like thrift store at 3:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like there's a bunch of things that I also should have brought out of the closet with me that I neglected to. Like I kind of came out in a skimpy outfit and I actually like should have brought a raincoat. I should have, you know, like there's a bunch of things that we need to make ourselves feel safe, which is what Cancer is about.
Yeah.
You know? That we kind of were, we went a little too nude too quickly or something, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, like with Mercury stuff, it's always just be ready to kind of rethink and rewrite and re-edit. Like people are terrified of Mercury retrogrades, but really they're just sort of times where the document of what's going on is in a bit of an editing phase And so that's why things aren't there when you expect them to be, or things go wrong schedule-wise, because it's as if Mercury's going through and deleting stuff and cutting and pasting stuff and putting it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So just kind of being in that mode and that vibe of rethinking and reorganizing things in your life, if you're on the same page with Mercury, instead of trying to go like full steam ahead, like on track, just be like, Mercury's retrograde, time to re-edit things about my life, you know?
Absolutely. And it's such a fear of Mercury retrograde, like you said. It's like the only thing that the only thing that a lot of people know about that has to do with astrology.
Right, yeah.
Probably, I think we've mentioned it before, like probably just because of the way this age is so dependent on cell phones and just various forms of very quick communication. But there's, I've found, and I'm sure a lot of you have found too, that there's great things that can happen during Mercury retrograde. And this, like, there's, I mean, you have no choice but to use it to its best advantage, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, on a mundane level, you know, just start rethinking and re-editing things about your life. And since it's Leo back into Cancer, things about visibility and what you want to be seen and what and who you want to be seen as, like kind of like rewrite your bio, you know? And then like, what's your profile picture or whatever? I mean this, like, literally and metaphorically. But then, and then also once he's back into Cancer, rethinking exactly what you need, not what you thought you needed, you know? But, and then in general, like, Mercury retrogrades are good for finding lost items and for communicating with the dead and for remembering things that you forgot and all of that kind of past reference and kind of things from like more hidden layers that kind of got lost in the mix, you know? It's like a little kind of
it's like Shangri-La.
Yeah. Or like, you know, when you're doing like a
you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like got your groove back. But like,
or no, like,
no, I know. I'm just kidding. I was just another one. But like or like if when you're doing like a mechanics project and about halfway through you're like, all right, we've spread a bunch of tools and bolts and parts all over the place. Let's get them all back into their canisters and categories before we get too far ahead of ourselves.
Very organized.
Mercury organizes and he turns backwards before we get too far ahead of ourselves. Like he's always going back and forth on either side of the sun. While the sun is steadily progressing forward and around, Mercury is like going ahead to make sure that things are set up before we get there, and then going all the way back to make sure we didn't leave stuff behind.
That's fantastic.
And when Mercury's retrograde, we experience that as like, what's going on? Because he's gone a little bit further. He's backtracking to make sure all the loose ends are tied up. And that's why we end up having to do things over and things like that, because it wasn't actually gonna, the knot was gonna loosen if not. He's actually helping us out, even though it seems like he's breaking our phone, making us drop our phone in the toilet or whatever.
Yeah.
Is like the common thing people talk about.
Yeah.
You didn't deserve that model. So yeah, we have a bunch of sextiles and squares to Uranus throughout the month. Like,
it's always fun.
Yeah, and so like this touching base with Uranus is just that being in touch in different ways, whether it's urgency through the squares or through the sextiles from Cancer with it's actually really interesting that, you know, the South Node says like you must delete a bunch of things from the systems and structures of your life, and the North Node is saying like, oh, we're definitely gonna have to like really just pay a lot of attention to these things we need, like with extreme insatiability. And meanwhile, the sextiles and squares to Uranus, they're like, where Uranus is just in general trying to disrupt and revolutionize material culture now that it's in an earth sign. It's like, hey, are we ready to just change things up a bunch and do a bunch of drastically different kind of crazy radical things?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being that we're aspecting to Uranus a bunch while we're having this eclipse, it's like, yep, totally. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's make a bunch of insane changes.
Yeah. You
know? So then July 9th, we get the sun opposite Saturn. You know, if it weren't an eclipse season, we'd just be like, ooh, sun opposite Saturn. Geez, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just part of this whole eclipse narrative. But that's one of the points where we're going to really, like, look straight across at, like, how much our new association with our needs and our identification with our needs, wherever that falls in your chart, what's the price tag on that? And that's going to reference at the next eclipse what things we have to get rid of because we can't afford them anymore. And so on the same day, the sun conjoins Rahu. So we're drooling over our needs and looking at the price tag.
Mm-hmm.
By the 11th, the sun trines Neptune, which is, this is funny. And it's the same day Mars squares Uranus. And so this is like where we start to like, we're looking at that price tag. We're getting really emotional. We're starting to say like, fine, well, fuck it. I don't even care. Like, just get rid of that stuff then. Like, that's, I don't even care about that anymore. I need this now, you know?
Yeah.
This is the point where maybe we start tripping on that tangent because,
yeah,
you know, the sun is harmonized with Neptune. We're starting to really get dramatic about it. And then simultaneously Mars squares Uranus. Mars is getting really extreme with his like whole thing of like, I'm just going to get a bunch of attention by being as loud as possible, while the sun is like, I don't care. I don't even need all that old stuff I used to care about anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So you can kind of see how this kind of is starting to go off the rails a bit. You
know? Yeah, definitely.
but you know, use it. Don't lose it.
Make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, like Venus is there, channel it into art, like journal it out, draft it out, just be careful and be experimental. Try to work for good data. Like take your wildest fantasies into the laboratory and see what they can do,
mm-hmm,
you know, before you start just like hopping on the prototype and driving it 1,000 miles an hour, you know. But yeah, this is sure to be kind of like, this is between both eclipses. It's sure to be kind of a confusing time. Then the sun opposes Pluto. And then this is where, like, yeah, after our big fantasy, it's kind of like on the 11th, we get our dose of acid.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the 14th, we're starting to have like a bad trip.
You forgot my birthday.
What's that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is when we're like, oh my God, I forgot their birthday. Happy birthday, Vaughn. Yeah, Bond's a July 12th baby, which all that happens July 12th is the sun goes into the second or the third decan of Cancer. But yeah, like you can kind of see how like we start have, you know, we're really like, I'm getting really emotional about the things I need and I'm really ready to cut the cord about a bunch of stuff. And I'm just like, I'm getting really loud and anxious and crazy about like the things I want to change. And I'm telling people about it. I'm doing things about it now.
Uh-huh.
And then the sun opposes Pluto and we're like, ooh, I'm actually really scared. You know?
Yeah. I shouldn't have made like, that my like profile picture.
Yeah. Or things are starting to,
yeah.
I was excited about this change. Now I'm scared about it. You
mm-hmm.
know? And then right after that, we get the, on the 16th, we get the lunar eclipse in Capricorn on the south node. And I've been thinking about this. This is more substance oriented because it's a lunar eclipse. And it's in Capricorn conjunct Saturn and Pluto. I've been thinking about this a lot and looking at people's, at clients' charts, seeing over and over these big decisions that people have to make. And they're scared to make them, and they're like, I need to do this, I need to get rid of this part of my life, but I don't really know what's going to happen afterwards. Being kind of at crossroads about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of those things are going to get decided on their own, kind of.
Yeah. Is it regardless of whether you decide or not, a decision is going to be made?
Yeah, I think for some people, the emotion will become too great. And for other people, they're like, oh, I need to quit my job, but I don't know how I'm going to make money after, but it's not fulfilling me, and I need to do this other thing instead. I need to prioritize myself. Uh-huh. And my growth. But they're like, but I need that money, and I don't really know what's going to happen. And then the boss pulls a bunch of insane, like, jackass shit and gives you a major demotion, and you get a pay cut, and you're like, oh, well, this is easy now. This is easy to quit now.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely can't stand for that, you know? So, like, analogs of a situation like that where the decision suddenly is obvious, you know? Like, mm-hmm. you've been vacillating over it, maybe even since the last eclipse, since the winter, since January, February of 2019. And now you're like, oh, okay, there is no choice anymore. This is the only thing to do for whatever reason, even though it remains to be scary and hard. And then Venus opposes Saturn the next day. And that's interesting as like we were saying with like the price tag of like our drives. Now we get like a price tag of our desires, you know? So it's kind of this like emotional, practical roller coaster where it's like, okay, you know, like this is what I really need to do. And I'm starting to really fantasize about it and trip about it and start to get really like obnoxious about it and get and really experimental and start like really like rocking the boat about it. And then I get really scared and then there's no turning back and I just have to cut the cord. And then it's like, and now I see the root of my desires and it's costly as well, you know?
Yeah. And I think that in all of this, it sounds potentially scary, but it's important to keep in mind that August is looking real nice. And so all of this is very important work to be done, and it will pay off in the end because the next month is going to be great.
Yeah. It's like going back to our closet metaphor. It's like you're in that dark closet. It's constrictive. You're trying to pull an outfit together. You can't see what you're doing. It's emotional. You're like,
yeah, it's like strictly based on like shape and like
yeah.
fabric, you know, the like the fabric,
the feel of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're crying. You know, everyone's out there and
you have makeup on and they're like, it's like all yeah. over your face.
Yeah. And you're trying to like clean it up before you open the door into the light. So it's, I know this sounds really nasty, right? But mm-hmm. it's this process. I was going to say it's like a process of elimination, which is kind of what it is, you know, a process of elimination and prioritization. And so then, Mercury goes back into Cancer. We've already talked about what that's going to be like about a bunch. And then Venus opposes Pluto. And after we get like the kind of like the look from desires, our emotional desires, our need desires, and you know, like that kind of like domestic nesting romanticization, creative romanticization, we get that look into like kind of that structural, mysterious obsession, unknown, void, unprecedented, beyond, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, this is fitting our metaphor pretty well. And that's right when we get, later that morning, we get the inferior conjunction in Cancer. So there's some insights there. You know, Pluto is big and mysterious. And when people are having Pluto transits, it's often... And I do other kind of divination for them that's more imaging style stuff. I get these images, like non-astrology, I mean, I get these images to present that are just sort of almost seem crazy or seem meaningless or I'm like, a bell. And they're like, a bell? And I'm like, yeah, a bell.
They're like, move back to Philly?
And a, like, yeah, right. No, not yeah, not a cracked bell. No, a bell and a high heel shoe and a dove. You know, like, it's really hard to get concrete information through Pluto because it just is the unknown. It's like things you would see in the void. You know, you just have to go through the dark period. But amidst that moment of darkness in our desires, Mercury conjoins the sun while retrograde, so we have these deep insights from the hidden and forgotten and unknown and underworld and material layers, where there's this logic behind the supply and surplus of what we need in life. So that's a moment to be meditating for. They're really brief. That's basically a kazimi. So it's Mercury conjunct the sun at 8:30 a.m. In the east on July 22nd, on Sunday, July 20, oh, I mean 21st, Sunday, July 21st. Mm-hmm. You know, everything we're saying about, like, oh, Mercury retrograde, you can find things you lost, you can remember stuff. This is kind of like a point of that specifically. So then we get the sun ingressed into Leo, and that's a big weight off our shoulders. This is where we're, you know, the light feels good. We've come out of, like,
the... You're used to the heat now. Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
like... As far as, like, summer is concerned.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, you're not as afraid to get a sunburn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, all right, yeah, I have a bit of a tan.
Yeah, like, I'm into this. I'm going to just drink rosé and eat a salad.
Yeah, right, totally. Yeah, you're not, like, melting.
Yeah.
You're like,
you're
all
not,
right.
Like, still trying to drink coffee and, like, eat, like, mashed potatoes.
Right. And it's not like you drink coffee and mashed potatoes just to stay warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the comfort foods in the trash, in the compost, sorry. Yeah. And the salads on the plate. But, and you're like, you're not trying to, you're not like sweater on, sweater off, mm-hmm. jacket on, shorts,
yeah.
like scarf,
the
tank
sweaters
top.
Have like cedar around them
yeah.
and like are like
moth
away
protected
for a month.
Yeah, for a month. If you live in Maine.
If you live in Maine.
6 months if you live yeah. everywhere else. Okay. So yeah, the sun's in Leo and this feels really good. The sun instantly is trined by sign to Jupiter and awaiting the trined by aspect. And so... And you know, the other planets are, the eclipse season is coming to a close. The other planets are headed into Leo. Not that Leo is superior to Cancer in any way, but having that, like...
But it thinks it is.
But that, like, eclipse, nodal axis, Saturn opposition, Pluto opposition stuff, the sun is kind of, can't see that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not visible to our directives and objectives anymore. We're stepping away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're stepping away into, like, just kind of being ourselves and radiating. And it's kind of that, like, that was really hard. Let's just, you know, we got to just cheer up now,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like,
yeah.
We just got to, like, it's
let's do something fun.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
totally. Let's do something active.
Yeah.
It's like the, like, let's get our spirits back up.
Yeah.
So then Venus conjoins Mercury retrograde and on the 24th. And that's always great time for art. When Venus and Mercury are retrograde, it's like the ability to creatively express what you're thinking.
Fantastic.
So that's a, you know, if you need to...
Is there a specific time in there to catch? So you want it at 8:30?
It's at 8:30 p.m. But it's not like, it doesn't require a kazimi the way aspects to the sun do, where it's either combust or kazimi.
Yeah.
So it's longer, you have a longer window, but if you want to hit the aspect, it's 8:30 p.m. on July 24th in the east.
Yeah.
Of continental USA. But yeah, not like a big, huge aspect, but we'll definitely get to like do that re-editing and rethinking and reorganizing of our desires, and we can do it partly by making a creative project to better understand it.
Nice.
So then on the 25th, we get Mars trine Jupiter, and this is our first trine of one of these personal planets to Jupiter that we're going to get a bunch more of throughout August, and so this is really nice. This is And also, let me backtrack and say that, like, kind of belligerent Mars in Leo that's kind of trying to get, like, get attention just by being aggressive, really likes to be in the third decan of Leo. Mm-hmm. So as it gets to the later side, it has that decan in both.
Sort of gets, like, more, gets its stride a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, it's able to get attention rightfully so.
Because it's called to fight for its truth and to fight for what it believes in.
Right.
And to show how brave it is to stand up for itself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more the, like, when what's true and noble and who you really are is challenged, Mars can rise to the occasion there and bring the bravery to be yourself.
Yeah.
And that's later, but at this point it's trining Jupiter, and so we get that, like, that actions and tactics and impulses of confrontation and fight to be ourselves harmonized with a coherence of quests and noble goals and wisdom, combining in various ways to, like, inspire us and motivate us to radiate outwardly towards what we really want to do. This kind of sounds like getting, like, really showing by doing what we're truly all about, not being afraid to do that, and getting a lot of inspired feedback and even a lot of opportunity to take those efforts into the great beyond towards where we really want to bring them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, ooh, that's great. That magnetizes things to me, or from an outside perspective, like, that person is like, that's really great what they're doing. They're really giving it and being themselves. Like, I'm motivated to help them reach what they're trying to reach,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I love that.
And so then Venus goes into Leo. So now we have another planet in Leo, ready to trine Jupiter eventually. And now this is where we start really adorning ourselves and start wearing crazy outfits, you know, and, like, not crazy, but what we really want to wear,
mm-hmm.
and doing art that, this is like, we're taking selfies, we're doing self-portraits, we're making autobiographical creative works, and we're, like, wearing, like, what we really want to wear, and we're really strutting our stuff. We're looking in the mirror a lot, but in a kind of creative way.
Mm-hmm.
So self-adornment and autobiography and, like, romancing visibility.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting excited. This is more of that, like, fire sign trine, fire sign, like, excitement time. So all this hard, weepy, expensive changes that we made in July, now we're starting to get really psyched.
Yeah.
Well, it's July, but the end of July.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then the sun squares Uranus. So now we got these planets getting really fired up about things and about themselves. And the sun, like, squaring from Leo to... Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say about the sun, is that Mars's behavior improves in Leo when the sun is in Leo, who rules Leo. So now we have the planets mitigated by the sun's rulership and trine to Jupiter in rulership. So a lot of dignity being passed around by aspect. And then the sun squares Uranus, which is jarring. Squares are, like, they're urgent, like an alarm goes off. But it's an alarm to take this, all this excitement and opportunity about, like, what we ultimately want to do and understanding how we can do it, and bravery and excitement to be ourselves. And we want to change lots of things in our world physically, and even change things about the world physically. You know, we might really be on our high horse at this point, but in not necessarily in a bad way. We might get to be on our high horse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and kind of ride glorious, being like, oh yeah, I'm going to change the world.
Gloriously into August.
Yeah, gloriously into August.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's a transformative month.
Yeah, transformative is like a word that we try to avoid in astrology, because so many people are like, oh, like everything can get said to be transformative, but this sequence looks very transformative.
It's actually transformative. Yeah.
But yeah, we might get to...
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
It's
actually
potentially transformative.
Yeah, right. It might just be like getting like a bunch of sucker punches and then getting thrown onto the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, by the 29th, we might have like a mad scientist thing going on in our brain and get to like mount a glorious horse in a mad scientist mode and have everyone willing to help us with our psycho quest, you know?
GoFundMe.
Yeah. For August, get your GoFundMe thing organized beforehand, you know? And then Mercury stations direct on July 31st, in the tail end of Cancer. And so, you know, we've gotten our psychotic mad scientist, glorious horse riding, like Zeus approved quest really gets going in earnest. Mercury just finally like gets the report in on exactly what we need. He's like, all right, I got it. I think I understand. I've checklist everything. And then the same day, just a couple hours later at 11 PM, we get the new moon in Leo. And so now we're really piling on the Leo like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lunation that ends the eclipse season. And so we pretty much just full blaze mount some solar horses and ride directly into the sunrise rather than the sunset.
Yeah.
We rise into like the beginning of
a new
dawn. Yeah. July is like a long, hard, wet, nasty night, you know, that you're crying all night and you throw a bunch of shit out the window and then the next morning just feels amazing, you know?
Because you made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that, fear, you know, it's like, you think that this is different, but it's like that feeling that when you, if you think that there's something in the house, you think that something's weird's happening, and you're like afraid because you're like, oh, what's that sound? And then you finally fall asleep and you wake up and it's, the sun is up and the cats are hungry.
And the birds are chirping.
The birds are chirping and you are alive. And what are you going to do?
You're gonna pack up the shotgun and all the shotgun shells and put it back in the drawer, and you're gonna put on your bulletproof vest.
Put on your robe.
And your what do they call those? Those like
swimmies.
Yeah, those swimmies. You're gonna skip the robe. You're just gonna like grease up Greccan style. And you're just going to walk outside.
And make yourself a cup of espresso.
Yeah. And mount your horse. And
it's very sensual.
I don't know. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You'll be there.
Yeah.
And you'll know.
We'll walk you through it next month.
Yeah. Totally. Well, thanks for joining us. We've had a blast.
Yeah, I hope you did too. We hope you did too.
Yeah.
As a team.
As team Liminal Light.
Yeah, and ciao.
Ciao.
So ciao.
A dopo.